Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We are back with World Soccer Talk Podcast. My name is Christopher Harris, joined by my co-host, Kartik Krishnaiyer. Kartik, the last few weeks, it's been pretty busy. Obviously, there was Thanksgiving for those of us in the United States, celebrating that. Lots of work, trying to get everything together for the family and, you know, everything that's involved in that. I'm not going to go into too much detail about that. But then also there was SoccerX in Miami that Kartik, you were at. Unfortunately, I missed it, but you were there interviewing Guillaume Balague, one of the top soccer journalists in the world, about his latest edition of his biography about Leo Messi. And it's the only authorized biography. So that was really good. I got some good clips of that that we shared on social media. And then also we've been busy interviewing people. So I interviewed Sean Harvey from Wrexham about streaming, which I'm hoping to have that story on worldsoccertalk.com later this week. Kartik, I know that you've been speaking to everyone, Ligue 1, as well as a lot of representatives, media executives, even people within the business at SoccerX. And also, I think, too, there's another league that we're... Oh, Serie A. And Serie A we'll get into also in terms of the latest developments there. Kartik, did I miss anything?
No, I think we've covered, well, CBS as well, obviously.
That's true.
CBS executives as well, and should have some features on World Soccer Talk this week about that. And then next week, hoping to have something up about Liga and our conversations with them.
Yeah, I can't believe I missed CBS Sports. Yeah, Kartik was also there. That was another day, and that was in Miami for Destination Miami, interviewing everyone from Micah Richards to Christina Uncle, one of our favorites in terms of, to me, the star of the show, really, at CBS Sports' UEFA Champions League coverage, and much, much more. So lots of good stuff coming out in the next week or two at worldsoccertalk.com. What I want to talk about is I feel that at this moment in time, in where we are in terms of TV viewership and how many people are watching games week in, week out from all the different leagues from around the world, we're at a place where there's a couple of deals coming up that Ligue 1, we mentioned, are in talks about their next TV deal. They're in their final year of their cycle. Serie A is in their final season of their cycle currently with CBS Sports. And there's other leagues too that are looking at the situation here going, okay, how can we compete? If I'm a Ligue 1, if I'm a Serie A, or if I'm a Major League Soccer, how do I compete against the big dogs? And the feeling I have right now, Kartik, whether the listeners are fans of the Premier League or not, and you can be fans of any league. To me, the more the merrier. I feel that the Premier League is so much of a majority, so embedded in the soccer culture in the United States as the number one English language soccer league in this country that I can't foresee a time anytime soon that they're going to lose that crown. What about you?
No, I think it's and I'm not necessarily happy about this. So I don't come at a place from a come at this from a place of Premier League bias. I've come at this from a place of Premier League skepticism, where I was hoping someone would challenge them. I was hoping the audience would broaden, but we just have to report what we see and what we observe and what other people in the business tell us. The vibe at CBS, and we'll get more into this in terms of some of the written content coming up on World Soccer Talk in the next week, but the vibe at CBS was they have programming decisions to make in terms of everything on linear television, right? There's an opportunity cost to use the word, and this is that's the term I would use. I use that term all the time in my everyday dealings. The opportunity cost, Jeff Gertula, who is their senior VP. I don't have his title in front of me, but it does a lot of their programming.
Runs, for, well, Paramount yeah. Plus, really, yeah. kind of the top
yeah,
dog
does
for us
in soccer. Digital side on both the digital on both the sports and the news side, actually, he does for CBS, and he's based in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale. The opportunity cost was the term he used in terms of putting any soccer programming on television, on linear television, unless it was Champions League. And I sense when we're talking about Champions League, we're also talking about, he didn't say this, but I'm kind of filling in the blank here, Champions League involving Premier League clubs. I think that that's like the thing. Even at this fan fest in Miami, there was Destination Miami, their version of the fan fest. It was a shock to people that the 2 days of the event, the overwhelming majority of fans, I would say at least 80%, were wearing Premier League shirts. So this is a town where you have where the image, the stereotype from outside is, oh, it must be big Real Madrid and Barcelona territory, right? And mm-hmm. there's probably more Milan fans and Inter Milan fans and Juventus fans than proportionally than other American markets. Well, in fact, 80% of the fans or more that showed up were wearing Premier League shirts. I would say Arsenal at the top of that, maybe United second. So we're talking about a situation now where even in the places where you would think La Liga would be doing very well, you would think Serie A would be doing well, maybe other parts of the country would think the Bundesliga is doing well, that the everyday, day-in, day-out soccer fans who are going to go to events, that are going to be following their club day-in and day-out, are following the Premier League. And in the case of Barcelona and Real Madrid, and I've noticed this living in South Florida, Barcelona and Real Madrid fans tend to weigh in when they play one another, or they're playing at Leti. They don't have the intensity of an Arsenal or a Spurs fan or a Liverpool fan that's following every match and that's following the everyday intrigue, reading the Liverpool Echo, right, or Arsenal or a poorly drawn Arsenal and things like that, right? So even in South Florida, which you would think would be the most natural place for the Premier League not to be doing as well, and a lot of these conversations were kind of casual conversations. I don't report things that are off the record or on background, but one thing I will say is that the CBS people were surprised by this, right? Like just mm-hmm. the disproportionate number of fans that were Premier League fans at this thing. And I think that that's where we're at. I mean, unfortunately, I don't think the television numbers, and I say this with some regret, Chris, as a soccer guy, the television numbers for the other leagues justify them being taking up a lot of time on linear television. And it feels like even when you go and talk to a casual sports fan about soccer, they have put in their mind that the Premier League is the global equivalent of the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, NHL. So they're not following other leagues. So even if they're kind of casually following soccer and they're just an all-around sports fan, their focus is the Premier League. And Real Madrid could win the Champions League or PSG could win the Champions League. They're still talking more about the Premier League title race and who the top teams in the Premier League are. So I just think we're in that place. And that's the reality, for better or for worse. I think it's for worse. But, hey, give the Premier League credit. Their marketing, whatever they've done in this country has worked, and what the other leagues have done has not worked.
Yeah, I think, I mean, next summer is going to be 10 years since the 2014 World Cup in Brazil, which to me is one of the high points of soccer in this country in terms of, you mean, all the games being available, almost all the games being available on television, just mass fandom, really a lot of excitement about the U.S. men's national team, a lot of, I mean, really, and buzz, and also kind of not just buzz, but also, I'm trying to think of the word, but in terms of the U.S. being a really strong team at that point, a lot of fans into, I mean, the Bundesliga and the Premier League, et cetera, et cetera. I think 10 years ago, I think most of the major leagues, soccer leagues I'm talking about, probably thought that they had a chance to go ahead and really compete with Liga MX and the Premier League. And here's an opportunity for the Bundesliga and some other leagues to really push the limits and really grow their leagues. However, at this moment in time, if you go through and think about what leagues are available on over-the-air television, basically it's all the games are on streaming. Now and again, if you're lucky, you'll get a game on television, few and far between. La Liga, all the games on streaming, now and again on English language television, maybe ABC will pick up a El Clasico, maybe not always, recently not so much, but now and again there'll be a game on free-to-air television. Liga has been on BN Sports for years. You mean Serie A is almost exclusively on streaming. Now and again, if you're lucky, well, no, it's on streaming, right? You go down the list, Major League Soccer. You mean every single game is on streaming. Now and again, if you're lucky, there'll be a game on Fox or FS1. So really what we come down to is really the Premier League against Liga MX as the two top leagues in this country, still having a lot of games on over-the-air network television, as well as, of course, a lot of those games on streaming too. On Liga MX, you got games on Univision, some games on TUDN, you mean a cable channel, and you've got some of the games on VIX Plus or VIX, which is a paid streaming service. And then the Premier League, of course, we know Peacock, USA Network, and NBC. So I think where we're at today is if you're a casual soccer fan, or even if you're a hardcore soccer fan, the most accessible and easily available leagues to watch on television are the Premier League and Liga MX. And I know you and I, Kartik, have talked about the last couple of years, talking about kind of Premier League TV ratings, and more so, I think, your disappointment in terms of, yeah, they're not really doing that great. They're not really kind of going up those levels that we want them to go up. And the reality is that cord cutting now is almost at the same number. The number of people that have cut the cord is almost at the same number as the number of people that now have a cable or satellite subscription. So basically, within the next probably month or so, cord cutting will be the number one way for people to watch content, really, basically, right? Whether it's sports or etc. And Liga MX's TV ratings are down approximately 30 to 40%. And the Premier League is roughly, it's still plateauing, but I think even to plateau at this point in time, with all the changes, all people cutting the cord, is quite an achievement. And this is not me kind of bragging about the Premier League, how great it is, how wonderful it's doing. I think it's just more so an open, honest conversation about where we're at today. And you and I have done this before, Kartik. You've written a lot about women's soccer, NWSL. Very little interest, it seems. We can go down the list, right? The Bundesliga. We tweet something out of the Bundesliga. I tweeted something out about the biggest Bundesliga game of the weekend this weekend with the technical difficulties. There's very few people that are responding. They're not plugged in. Serie A, even with Christian Pulisic and Yunus Musa and Timmy Weah and Weston McKinney, I mean, the Americans there mostly right now, the star American players are mostly playing in Serie A. I don't think Serie A is moving the needle either, even with the Americans.
No, and so, the Bundesliga didn't when they had Americans. I mean, so the precedent was set. I don't know why there was an expectation, Chris, that somehow Serie A was going to have this huge renaissance in the U.S. Because of it. I mean, and to your point, I think you make a very good point about the numbers plateauing. I look at raw numbers, and that's maybe where I'm making a mistake. You're right, there's cord cutting, and if you look at the share, the rating, the actual rating, which is assigned, the Premier League ratings are actually higher than they've been because the share of the audience, of the potential audience on cable, is much higher than it was. Not much higher, but is higher than it was even when the numbers, the raw numbers, were peaked in the 15-16 season. So, the Premier League is holding its own and everybody else is kind of struggling.
Yeah, and I think the other part of it too is that you saw it first person, right? Going to the Fan Fest in Miami, seeing people wearing Arsenal shirts, Man United shirts, Liverpool shirts, etc. I mean, you and I went to the Fan Fest earlier this year in Orlando. I've been to the ones in Miami, etc., etc. But even on social media, you go to social media on any given weekend, and I will give NBC Sports full credit for this. The hashtag my Premier League morning or my PL morning. Every weekend, you see photos of people, families, taking pictures. NBC Sports then shares those on their TV broadcast too. So it reinforces the reality that there are a lot of people in this community. In addition to that, Kartik, you go on social media any weekend too, you'll see tons of posts from people around the United States going to their local pub or their bar, having a supporters group, and even experiencing that Arsenal match, experiencing that Spurs match. So if the feeling is there's a huge community there where they're all in it together, if you become a fan of Bournemouth, I don't think you feel lonely anymore, right? You probably feel, okay, hey, there's actually a bunch of, as one example, there's a bunch of Bournemouth supporters groups throughout the United States. They probably have an official US supporters group. You can take pictures and post them on social media, and then now all of a sudden you're on NBC and so on and so forth. And the feeling I get is for a lot of those other leagues, and that's the reality of it. Maybe it comes down to this, Kartik, is that the marketing. You mean, I'm not seeing that with Serie A. I'm not seeing that with Major League Soccer. I'm not seeing that even with Liga MX. I'm not seeing that with all these other leagues. I'm not seeing like an effort really to grow. I mean, they're trying, but it's not enough. And it almost feels like it's inevitable. Almost feels like it's impossible for them to really break through the barrier, break through the glass ceiling, and actually, you mean, surpass or even close to surpassing the Premier League.
Yeah, I think the key thing here is, and in fact, maybe I'm in a different world on social media. The social media circles I'm in, I think, disproportionately skew the interest in La Liga, Serie A, and Bundesliga. I see more fan stuff with those leagues than is actually represented in society. When I go out in society, and I know for a couple of years because of COVID and maybe my own isolation, whatever, own personal stuff, I was isolated and not circulating as much among people in society, and was just relying on social media to make these determinations. But now that I'm circulating again a lot in Florida, a place where, again, I think the view is that those other leagues would be stronger relative to the Premier League, I don't see it. I mean, I don't see any interest. Serie A and the Bundesliga are invisible. You'll see the occasional Juventus kit or someone who tells me occasionally, oh, I'm an Inter Milan fan, but very, very rarely. A Bundesliga, completely off the radar. And in terms of La Liga, yeah, there are people who are Barcelona and Real Madrid fans who just aren't paying attention week in and week out. They say they're a Barcelona or Real Madrid fan very much the same way I think a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm a Los Angeles Lakers fan or I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I don't know. Maybe I'm dating. I don't watch American pro sports anymore, but I'm just picking what were the most popular teams at one time. It feels kind of like that, right? They just say, oh, I like Real Madrid because that's the established top team. But they're not really engaged week in and week out. And that's something I thought would change with ESPN covering that league. ESPN has promoted the league. When I watch college basketball games on ESPN, ESPN Family of Networks, the last few weeks, there are always promotions for La Liga. Always. In fact, oftentimes there are promotions for La Liga in the corner on the ticker during the college basketball games. They're not promoting the next big college basketball game. They're promoting the next big La Liga game on ESPN Plus. During this ACC SEC challenge this past week, they were promoting Barcelona Atleti the whole time. But I'm sure, I mean, they don't release streaming numbers, Chris, but I'm guessing not that many people watched. That would be my guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. Kartik, when was the last time you saw someone wearing a shirt for a MLS club in public?
In public. Right now I'm wearing, we're not putting this episode on camera, but I'm wearing a Timbers shirt. Actually, right now, Portland Timbers shirt. That doesn't mean I'm a Timbers fan. Seattle people, don't come after me.
Always have nice shirts, right?
Yeah, they always, I love the colors. And I love Seattle's colors too, similar colors. So I do have a Seattle shirt as well. When was the last time I saw someone wear an MLS shirt that was not Inter Miami in public? Because there are people in messy shirts.
Right.
Geez, I want to say I saw someone wearing an Atlanta United shirt in your neck of the woods in Jacksonville back in August. It was just one random person. I think that was it.
It's been
3 months, yeah. 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, yeah. The last time I saw one, the Messi one, yeah, that's different, right? Inter Miami. It's almost like Inter Miami and Messi are in a separate league, which is not MLS. You mean maybe... I mean, they're in MLS and then Major League Soccer's in a different league. It feels that way sometimes. But the last time I saw it in public would have been the last time I went to an Inter Miami game, which was in July. And obviously, there'll be a ton of fans wearing Inter Miami shirts. But I'm trying to remember who they played. I can't even remember who they played against. But whoever they played against, I saw the shirts of the opponent's team.
I'm thinking otherwise.
You don't see it. I mean, the Messi thing is different, right? But it'd be nice to see some. I've never seen an LAFC shirt in public. I've never seen I remember seeing some New York Red Bull shirts maybe 10 years ago, some people wearing those, or some of the knockoff shirts, or the cheap shirts that.
See Atlanta and Philly Union. I've seen a couple, like 3 or 4 Philly Union shirts the last couple of years in Florida, but that's it. Those are the only two teams I see outside of the Messi Inter Miami. And I didn't see Inter Miami shirts before Messi signed. So even though I'm in South Florida, I didn't see Inter Miami shirts. I don't see Orlando City stuff anymore either. Mm-hmm. I don't, as good as Orlando City has been the last few years, and they did sell out that Columbus game, right, in the playoffs a week ago. I don't see Orlando City stuff on cars as much as I used to. I don't see people. I'm in Central Florida a lot, so this is kind of more hard evidence. I don't see as many people wearing purple as used to, and that started before the Apple deal, but I'm sure it's intensified this year.
So going back to kind of a discussion about, you mean, is it even possible for anyone to even get close to beating the Premier League at this point? And the way it's heading is the Premier League is getting very, very close to breaking Liga MX in terms of what Liga MX numbers are. And Liga MX numbers are down considerably. Their numbers are usually the greatest when it's the playoffs. And it's, you mean, Chivas against Club America in the final. And over the course of two legs, I mean, kind of the first leg and the second leg, you might get over 2 million or 2.5 million people watching those games. In isolation, the Premier League were getting, 1.5 million for some of the games, sometimes even higher than that. But usually it's kind of upwards, close to hitting the million mark. Sometimes for a big match, it's over. And then at the same time, I mean, a lot of the big games are on Peacock now. You mean Man City against Spurs. You mean, and that's the thing, Kartik. And let me just add one more thing about this, too, is that it seems to me, at least, when I'm tuning in to watch the Premier League, it's almost always some blockbuster games. So, you mean, I mean, Man City against Spurs, what a game that was, right? The Liverpool game from Sunday morning, right? The Liverpool game where it was against Fulham. I mean, you go down the list. From the last several weeks, I don't think I've seen any duds in the Premier League. I mean, that's the thing, right? At the end of the day, is that for the most part, not always, is it's entertaining. It's high quality, fast paced. Yeah, really annoying with the VAR, right? But for the most part, it's the game to watch. It's the, I mean, on any given weekend, you can pretty much put a safe bet on one of the games of the weekend is going to be in the Premier League. And you can't guarantee that always with Serie A or La Liga or Ligue 1, or the Bundesliga. It just seems like the big kind of blockbuster games, not always, but most of the time, are in the Premier League. So you are getting that, you mean, yes, you're investing your time and energy and sometimes, you know, money into watching these games, but you're getting the return. It feels like a really good process where you feel that it was worth the money. It's not always that way, Kartik, but what about the other leagues? I mean, do you see that same type of, you mean, kind of entertainment level when you're investing in those other leagues or watching those other leagues?
Well, I think that there's a difference between entertainment and quality. And I've tried to make this argument for years, and I've lost the argument. I'll be quite honest, but I've said, look, I can readily concede the Premier League is more entertaining than other leagues in Europe. It has been for 15 or 20 years. But I would argue at various times the quality in other leagues is better. I think it was probably better for much of last season in Serie A than it was in the Premier League. I think the Bundesliga certain years have been better. La Liga consistently until, not anymore, but consistently for 5, 6, 7 years in recent times, quality level was better than Premier League. But that doesn't matter, right? First off, Serie A has a terrible problem with their stadiums. They have a terrible problem with their crowds. So that is part of why on television that league doesn't translate, even the quality level. As I argue last season, I thought it was the best league in Europe last season. The quality level doesn't equate to television because of those things. The Bundesliga does have the atmospheres. They do have the grounds, but they also have one team dominating the league, and I think a lack of familiarity with a lot of the clubs, right? And I do think the Bundesliga, the balance of the Bundesliga is now hurting it, right? When you've got Hamburg and Schalke consistently, Nuremberg's now back in the second division, right? You have some of the bigger brand clubs that are in the lower tier, and you have Freiburg and last year Union Berlin fighting for Champions League spots. That doesn't necessarily help the league, believe it or not. And then in the case of Liga, they're invisible, right? I think potentially, and we'll get more into this in some of the conversations we're having with Liga. I do think potentially because there's Liga is the number one incubator league for the Premier League, right? It is the league which produces more high level players who then star in England in the league that more people are watching than all the other leagues combined in Europe, at least in this country, that they do have a potential. But they have a problem being on BN. And based on our conversations, Chris, and I don't want to speak too out of school here, but I think that they do recognize, much like La Liga did a few years ago, that they do have a problem with their exposure. But all of this having been said, the Premier League is more entertaining. It has the right combination of crowd ambiance, of entertainment on the pitch, and really good production levels from NBC, the way the games are produced, the way the games are presented. I think that has come up a level now this season with John Champion joining them. You have Peter Drury on Saturdays, you have John Champion on Sundays, although I don't know what happened yesterday, why we got the international feed City Spurs. But generally, we have those two iconic English language announcers calling games on NBC, so that just elevates it even further.
I think it's important to note also, Kartik, is that it's not just that we're watching the Premier League and that's it, and we're just speaking from kind of a Premier League perspective. The reality is we're watching those other leagues. So this past weekend, right, I watched the Bundesliga game, I watched Leverkusen against Dortmund, I watched Serie A, I watched Napoli against Inter, I watched Barcelona against Atleti, I watched Cincinnati against Columbus. I didn't get to watch any of the French league, but I often do. If I hear something really interesting is happening, I'll jump and switch to that channel to be in sports to watch something. It's almost like I need to be alerted to something major is happening, or some incredible game or back and forth, etc. So where we speak at this from is kind of looking at around ourselves, doing some research, talking to people within the business. And the reality is where we're at, and I broke the story last week about Serie A at worldsoccertalk.com, is right this second, Serie A does not have a broadcaster for next season. Serie A, by this point in time, should have announced who the broadcaster is going to be for next season. They've been in talks with CBS Sports, as we reported back in September, about renewing the deal. Serie A, and Kartik, you know better than anyone on this one, didn't get a really good deal in Italy with Sky and DAZN, and now feel that they're in a spot where they really have to get more revenue from rights fees in the United States and other international markets to really kind of close that gap. To make up for the kind of the disappointing numbers. And CBS is balking. CBS Sports, according to my sources, are ready to step away, that they're not ready to renew at the price that Serie A wants, which is much, much greater than what CBS Sports values that league at. And I think that to me, that's kind of a slap in the face to to soccer fans in this country, is just because a league is on Paramount Plus, and if you're lucky, you might have a game on CBS Sports Network now and again, maybe if you're lucky. But for the most part, it's a slap in the face to say, like, hey, where is the viewership? Because I think if the viewership was there, if the viewership was watching these games in large numbers, CBS Sports would say, you know what? It's worth paying more, because we're seeing growth. We're seeing the number of Paramount Plus subscriptions increase. We're seeing a whole bunch of media coverage about Serie A and Frosinone and, you know, AC Milan and all these teams throughout the league. And isn't it great? Isn't this wonderful? The reality is I'm not seeing that. And I don't blame CBS Sports the same for saying, like, hey, we're not willing to pay, you know, crazy numbers to renew a league that is a fantastic league, a league I love, a league I watch. I think CBS Sports has done a fantastic job in terms of their coverage and the studio work that they've done and the commentators. Chris Whittingham have been kind of the lead commentator now. I love that. Matteo Benetti as a co-com, that's fantastic. They've done a great job. And Serie A, for the most part, has been an entertaining league to watch too. It's more tactical. It's different. It's, you have your characters. You have your Joses. You have the managers. They're strong characters. But maybe, Kartik, maybe the bigger question is the soccer population, the population of soccer fans in this country, shrinking? Does it feel that way?
It feels like it's not growing. Whether it's shrinking or not, I don't know. I don't feel it's growing. And in fact, I've had this conversation with a number of people who are in the know. They kind of acknowledge, they tacitly admit, even though they don't want to, I don't want to admit it either, that we've kind of plateaued in terms of growth for soccer and growth for an interest in soccer. Now, the intensity of those who are soccer fans already might be growing. So that that's something different, right, that you can measure. But in terms of actually growing the audience, it isn't happening. But we have a Copa America this summer. Then we have a World Cup in 2026. Yeah. We potentially have a Women's World Cup in 2027. I think it's probably going to be here. So those might be things that uptick the audience, or they might not be. Because I think another thing we're finding is that the audience for international football tends to kind of segregate itself more and more from club soccer, not just domestic club soccer, but the European club game. In terms of Serie A, real quickly, I'll just say this. I know CBS is very happy with what the Brazilian league has produced for them in terms of production of matches, that it's driven people to sign up for Paramount Plus. And so if you take that Serie A, right, Brasileiro, and compare it to the Italian Serie A, you're looking at a property you can acquire for a lot less money, a property which there is enough of an English language audience that they tune in, and you're driving new subscribers to Paramount Plus at a much lower price point than Serie A, or Italian Serie A. So I think the very natural comparison for CBS now, for better or for worse, is Serie A, is it worth the money when you can get leagues like Brazil, Argentina, Brazil more so than Argentina, that drive subscribers? People will sign up for Paramount Plus because you have games from those leagues. So that's an issue. That's what they have to weigh. And Serie A's domestic TV deal, they settled at a lower rights fee than perhaps they should have. But at the same time, you don't want to be in the position Liga is in, where they don't have a domestic TV deal going into next season right now. So Serie A wanted to avoid that. I think there is some recognition among Serie A executives that the product itself is not as popular in Italy as it used to be. Agnelli, before he got run out of Juventus, before everything that happened recently, had warned that the younger generation in Italy had abandoned the league, and that was kind of his pretext for wanting to create a Super League. So that's what CBS is weighing. There are other properties in soccer they can pick up, and they're going to continue to pick up properties. Spent a lot of time talking about USL with them. last week. They will continue to pick up properties that are value adds and drive eyeballs and viewers to Paramount Plus. And unfortunately, going back to your whole premise of this conversation, Chris, we don't know numbers, but we can surmise Serie A is not meeting expectations.
Yeah, and with Serie A, if you're a Serie A fan, you probably already have Paramount Plus because you subscribe for UEFA Champions League. Right. So it's not going to bring a huge new audience. Yeah. And your example of the Brazilian league, which is an up and coming league in terms of growing. They've got some big plans behind the scenes. There's a lot of talk about reforming that league to make it more of a kind of a heavyweight.
Let me jump in and say one other thing about the Brazilian league. The Brazilian league is the only other league besides the Premier League in the United States. A foreign league where you can find large fan bases of about of multiple clubs, 6, 7, 8 clubs. So the thing that from my discussions with people has driven signups for the Brazilian league on Paramount Plus, and something I didn't expect and I didn't think about when they got the rights. When they got the rights a couple of years ago, I thought, it's nice, but it's not that big a deal. Is that there are large fan bases. There are more big clubs in Brazil than in the other leagues in Europe, other than the Premier League. So it's like the Premier League in that you will have the big base of Newcastle fans and West Ham fans that sign up for Peacock. Same thing in Brazil. You'll have Flamengo fans and even Curitiba fans, and you'll have Palmeiras fans. There's so many big clubs in Brazil. Botafogo, Sao Paulo, like Santos. I could go on and on. Fluminense. That Serie A doesn't have, Italian Serie A. Italian Serie A, there are no fan bases for these clubs in the U.S. That's the reality.
Even Milan and Juve, it's kind of minimal. In New York, right.
Yeah. So that's something else that CBS will look at. Having been rewarded for taking a chance on the Brazilian league, they're probably looking at that metric and saying, you know what, Italy doesn't quite cut it.
So going back to the question about if it feels like the population of soccer fans in this country is shrinking or not, my thing is, I think 2018, not qualifying for that World Cup, really screwed things up big time in terms of the growth trajectory of soccer in this country in terms of number of fans. And it doesn't matter, doesn't have to be U.S. soccer fans. It could be fans of any team or country in the United States. 2018 was really a disaster in terms of not qualifying. And it's 4 years, right? You have to wait 4 years until the 2022. And arguably, to me, the U.S. did not achieve what they should have achieved in that competition either. So now we're going to 2026, which is a whole different ballgame as far as hosting it or co-hosting it. So that will help tremendously. But 2018, I think, really screwed things up. And I think it probably put a lot of doubts in the minds of probably non-soccer people that some of these broadcast companies that don't really know or understand soccer were like, really? Because 2018 World Cup, I mean, you and I and most of the listeners, I'm sure, probably watched most of the games, if not all the games. And to us, it was a fantastic tournament. And so was 2022 in terms of on the pitch. Off the pitch, forget about it. But on the pitch, right, we love soccer. So to us, I don't think we felt it as much. But outside it, in mainstream America, not qualifying for a World Cup, that certainly, definitely hurts things. And at the same time, too, with cord cutting, more and more people watching games on streaming, that definitely has a detriment, too, in terms of a negative impact on the number of people watching games, I believe. Because it's, for some people, it's, if they haven't cut the cord yet, or they're confused about all the options, it can be confusing. It's a roadblock in the way of them watching soccer on television. And I think even though TV is dying as we know it, as far as kind of linear television, cable and satellite is dying, it's still, to me, is the gateway into getting new fans and then maybe the ad subscriptions on the streaming side. And that's why I see Liga MX and the Premier League really, as the power, as the heavyweights in this country. Any thoughts, Kartik, on why Liga MX viewership is down as much as 30% to 40%?
I think there's a cord cutting. I think there's also a reality, although this season has gone a little differently, there was a reality that Monterrey and Tigres, those two clubs, had who don't have, by the way, have huge fan bases in the U.S., had a disproportionate amount of money compared to the traditional powers, the Cruz Azuls, the Pachucas, Pachuca being a more recent power, the Club Americas and Chivas. So I think there was that element. I also think that there has been some cord cutting. I think that younger, more kind of bilingual Hispanics have not necessarily turned on to Liga MX the way their older brothers and sisters did, their fathers and mothers did. So that's an issue as well. I think also just in general, the lack of consistent kickoff times, right? This is something that we talk about with MLS. Leagues Cup didn't do much to change that in terms of generating interest, which was unfortunate. I thought it might be good for Liga MX as well as being good for MLS. It was I'm not sure who it was good for other than Inter Miami at this point, right? So these are all kind of questions. Why has that audience began to taper off? Again, this is all relative, right? I mean, we've had a conversation just now about Serie A. The Liga MX still has like 15 times, 20 times the viewership of Serie A, of Italian Serie A in the U.S. But there are warning signs. And I do think maybe it is among younger people, bilingual Hispanics, whereas the Premier League is making its greatest impact amongst younger, more affluent people in the United States, many in suburban areas. And that's something that I keep hearing from folks who are involved in the business of football, business of soccer in this country, that the Premier League and English football in general has captured something in a younger, more wealthy demographic audience that this sport hasn't otherwise. So that's and that probably MLS hasn't captured. So that's something also to consider, is like the age and the demographics and kind of the socioeconomic levels of fan bases. And that's another place where the Premier League is standing apart from everybody else.
I'll share an anecdote. So my youngest, my son, Christopher, who's also named Christopher, he's 15 years old. He's a freshman in high school. He loves sports, right? He's very outgoing. The last year or two, he's been getting into sports even more so. He's been like watching all the streaming, watching Max and ESPN Plus and Fubo and all the streaming services to watch content. I mean, watch sports, right? So he's been getting big into watching basketball, so whether NBA basically. NBA, he'll tune in, you know, whenever and watch a game if he has time. Then he'll watch NFL games. A week ago, he started getting into college football. He was like, "Okay, I want to watch this and see what this is all about." He's been watching ice hockey, NHL a little bit. He's still kind of getting to know that a little bit better. And he's been watching Major League Baseball. Anytime I mention to him, hey, Chris, tonight it's soccer on, a big game on tonight, right? It's going to be, you know, I don't know, USA against whoever, or if it's going to be, this past summer would have been, hey, Messi's going to be playing tonight. He's like, no, I'm not interested. I'm like, come on, let's watch it. These are some of the best soccer stars in the world. You can watch it. It's really fun. He's like, nope, no interest. And even at school too, kind of a high school level, some days they'll have shirt days. And I'll say to him, like, hey, because he's like, it doesn't have a lot of sports jerseys, maybe one or two. But I said to him, like, hey, if you want to, here's a soccer shirt. This is a really cool soccer shirt. He's like, nope, not interested. If you walk into my house is Soccer Central. I mean, I'm always going to have games on TV. I've got, you know, BBC Radio going on the Google Home. I've got posters of Gareth Bale. I've got, Panini soccer collections. It's a soccer household. All of us in our family either work in soccer. My wife runs a local soccer club. My kids have played. Christopher's played too when he was younger. But at this age right now, high school, no interest at all. And he has some friends to play soccer, but it's considered a minor sport. Going back to the whole major league or minor league. And I think part of it, honestly, going back to the 2018 World Cup and US not making it, big picture, the US not having as strong of a team as they should for a country of this size with all the resources that they have, I think is having the most detrimental impact on the growth of the sport in this country. Because most soccer fans in the United States will be honest with themselves and say, hey, yeah, the US team, yeah, I mean, depending on which side of the fence you're on, but this US national team is not going to win the World Cup. Greg Berhalter a few weeks ago was talking about winning the World Cup and, you know, tweeted that out saying like how his full intention is to try to win the World Cup, which I don't blame him for trying. But the reality is that the US national team and the structure and resources and, I mean, the creativity that we're missing, we don't have those creative players that are really going to make a difference on the Premier League level. Most of the American players are playing in Serie A, or if they're playing in the Dutch league, right? And they're doing really well in the Dutch league. We saw that with Jozy Altidore back in the day, you mean, being one of the top scorers in the Eredivisie. Then he gets signed by Sunderland, does nothing. Then he goes to Hull, does nothing. Time after time, we see Americans not doing well at the highest level, the Premier League. So I think personally that's my thing, is it feels like it's stagnating the growth of soccer in this country because there's a lack of belief. And most Americans can't kind of wrap their arms around like, hey, we've got a team that can win this World Cup, because I don't think anyone believes that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
No, and I don't think the Premier League has necessarily been the highest level that whole time. So let's take La Liga. One American player has stood out in La Liga. I mean, Jozy Altidore went to Villarreal. How did he do? Right? How did Sergiño Dest do in La Liga? So, yeah, I mean, they can do well in Serie A and the Bundesliga, but in terms of the Premier League and La Liga, we have seen some really bad performances. Kolasinac got a goal this week for we had two American players playing in that game, Trusty and Kolasinac. He got a goal for Burnley, so that's maybe a positive. He could still play for Italy, though. If I were him, I would be open to that rather than hitching my wagon to the U.S. But no, your point is very well taken. I feel like there's the interest is either plateaued or it's diminishing. And it's not just you and me. I talk to people. This is a general sense that we hit a wall. We hit a roadblock. But we have Copa. We have World Cup. All this stuff. Those are the kind of the spin, right? That stuff's coming up. I've also been told that the U.S. women's performance this summer damaged the sport further, mm-hmm. Which is true. Is very true. So I do think ultimately it's not cool anymore. There was kind of a hipster element. If Christopher had been in high school 10 years ago, a hipster element of, you know, showing up at your high school wearing a Liverpool shirt or showing up wearing a PSG should. I don't think that's there anymore. You know, I think that there's been a diminishment in terms of interest, and it's really worrying. I mean, I think it hasn't spooked sponsors, and I think maybe the Premier League is masking the weakness in the sport in this country, because, as I said, the Premier League has attracted a certain demographic, which appeals to advertisers, appeals to sponsors, means people will pay to sign up for Peacock, means advertisers will advertise on NBC's Premier League matches. But I do think once you then dial it back and you're trying to air Serie A, or you're trying to air the Bundesliga, or you're trying to air Liga A, you have to take, if you're a network, if you're a media company, you have to almost take market research about how popular the Premier League is to the sponsor and say, well, you know, Serie A could be the Premier League, which we are acknowledging in this conversation, it can't be and it won't be. So, yeah, I'm frustrated. The MLS going on Apple, I think, has been detrimental to the sport as a whole, and continuing to grow the brand of soccer. Look, I mean, we criticize leagues, we criticize decisions, we criticize business decisions on this podcast and on our website. But Chris, you and I ultimately are fans of soccer. We want soccer to do well. We're advocates for the sport. And I think as we get deeper into this Apple deal, it's not just, hey, it's not us being smug and saying, oh, no one's watching MLS, no one's talking about MLS. We're disappointed by it, because MLS has to be one of the primary drivers of interest in the sport in this country. And by putting themselves behind the Apple, the double Apple paywall, right? It's one thing to be behind a Paramount Plus paywall, as we're talking about with Serie A and the Brazilian League, etc. It's another thing to be on Apple, which is considered kind of a luxury premium service. It's not as mainstream as Paramount Plus or ESPN Plus. And then you're adding an add-on fee to that. It just is. It's just not working for the sport. So. How do we reverse this? I don't know. I mean, I think the Premier League is the driver. The national team maybe has to have a good Copa America. As you said, I think the women's national team has to recover. I have to tell you, like, the women's national team's in Fort Lauderdale right now, at the moment. Emma Hayes has come and visited them. Chris, I have never seen so little interest when the women's national team came to South Florida. It was a big event the previous times they've come. Right. It's the U.S. women. It's Abby Wambach. It's, you know, whoever the star is at the time, Alex Morgan. It's been a big deal in local sports media. You lived here for part of that time. It's been a big deal in the soccer community. This time it's like, those losers. Right. Right? I
mean, well, yeah. Yeah. And the friendly against China, U.S. women against China the other night, I think had a crowd, actually on Saturday, I think it was in daytime, had a reported crowd of, I think, about 8,500. It looked a lot less than that, the actual crowd. So,
but it used to be very difficult to even get into a U.S. women's game in South Florida.
Yeah.
Right? When they play at FAU, these were huge events in town. They were not just events among soccer fans. They were events among the general sports population in Dade, Broward, Palm Beach County. This time, it's been a thud. And when I mentioned it to people, it's been like, you know, we saw the World Cup. They're done, you know. We don't care about that.
And the ticket prices weren't expensive. And actually, I got a couple of promotional emails from Inter Miami saying, like, hey, we've got a 2-for-1 special right now. So even with ticket prices that are reasonable and 2-for-1s and who knows how many they gave away, very little interest. It's, you mentioned before, too, that I think Major League Soccer has to be successful for soccer to grow in this country. I disagree with that, Kartik. I think... To me, right now, the Premier League is the soccer league in the United States. So much so that I think in some ways it's actually hurting the international viewership too, because, I mean, viewership of the national team. Because, like, any time, right, you're watching, you know, Man United and Liverpool and Arsenal and Luton and all these other teams, and then all of a sudden the breaks go on, international break for 2 to 3 weeks. And it's like it almost makes you hate the national game. Right, they hate the international team because it disrupts the flow, and then it comes back to the Premier League or the European seasons, and it takes a little bit of time to get back into it, and then before you know it, there's another international break.
And I have to tell you, as someone who is on UK radio fairly often, at least once a week on Talk Sport, that's the sense in the UK, right? There was one time I was on TalkSport expecting Scotland had qualified for the Euros. England has flew through qualifying until the last couple of matches, right? I'm expecting to at least talk about that. And the host is like, this lousy international break. And the callers are like, when's club football back? Let's watch non-league this weekend. Let's watch League Two this weekend. So I think that there's just kind of a general among hardcore soccer fans, which again is who are watching the game in this country now because we plateaued, a rejection of the international game outside of the tournaments. Now, the tournaments are important because they bring casuals in. Our hope is this summer Copa America brings casuals in. In spite of me saying how poorly the U.S. played this summer in the World Cup, in the Women's World Cup, the television ratings were good considering the times of those matches on Fox. They were very good. So there are casuals who will tune in. Now the key is you have to win when those casuals tune in. And we didn't do it. We didn't qualify in 18. 22, I think, was okay. I think that I disagree with you. I think that did kind of help. I don't know what, you know, why the expectation would be higher for a U.S. team with a lot of young players. I mean, I can point out when other countries have had squads that young how poorly they've done in tournaments. So I disagree completely that the U.S. should have done better in the 2022 World Cup. But the point remains that after that, people tuned out. Women's World Cup, they tuned in. We did very poorly. That was an embarrassing tournament for the U.S. Actually, probably as bad as any men's tournament we've had, including 98, if you just think of it relatively speaking, 98 Men's World Cup. So it's bad. So 2024 Copa America, we're going to have a strong U.S. men's national team performance when the casuals come in. And then in terms of the Premier League, this is where the Peacock issue comes in. Is it hurting soccer that NBC now has made a determined effort to put the biggest Premier League games exclusively on Peacock, with very few exceptions? And I noticed I don't watch other American sports other than college basketball. I know some people are angry at my social media attacking college football, but I'm a college basketball fan, right? I don't like college football very much. But NBC's doing the same thing. They've gotten the Big Ten rights. They're putting the biggest Big Ten matchups on Peacock in basketball. So I think this may be a strategy from NBC corporate, or Comcast corporate, not just Premier League driven, but sports driven. But is that limiting our ability to get casuals who might be used to, might need to see Liverpool versus Man City on NBC over the air or on USA Network? Is this something that's also hurting us?
Yeah, I think that part of it is, I think NBC is hurt in some ways by the Premier League having the biggest games at 11:30 Eastern time on a Sunday, right? So by the time it ends, it's 1:30 in the afternoon, and then even if you do some kind of post match wrap up, so it ends by 2 p.m. and then you're competing with the big dogs, right? NFL. So I think in some ways the Premier League doesn't help themselves by putting those games in that time slot. However, at the same time, you mean even if they move the times back a little bit to make them a good time for the U.S. markets, would they still put those games on Peacock? Probably yes. they're going hell for leather to increase the number of subscriptions to Peacock.
As we have this discussion, just in fairness, Peacock has fewer subscribers in the U.S. than Paramount Plus, than Hulu, than Disney Plus, then Max. So they really are trying to, well, maybe Max doesn't have more, but then the three I mentioned. Yeah, and not to even mention Netflix and Prime, the two, and even YouTube Premium now has, I think, higher numbers, believe it or not, than Peacock. So in terms of subscribers, based on the estimates we see. They have to drive traffic. They have to drive subscribers to Peacock. So I know we just beat up on NBC, and I'm also complaining about college basketball, but I think they have no choice, really. Or they shut it down. That's the alternative, right? They shut down Peacock.
Yeah. Last question, Kartik, is without revealing any sources or any names, but what was the general consensus about Major League Soccer in your discussions with soccer media executives and people within the business at SoccerX Miami, which is a very soccer business type of conference. You have people from around the world, clubs, even leagues, rights holders, some former stars, etc. You mean, in your conversations, what was the general consensus about Major League Soccer and the Apple deal?
Nobody liked the deal. Nobody. There are people who said they like that MLS got money up front. They like that MLS put themselves in a position to go all streaming, but they think the streaming service is wrong. They think the length of the contract is wrong. They think maybe MLS undersold itself long term. And there is a general sense that here's the word opportunity cost that Jeff Gertula at CBS Sports also used, not in reference to this, by the way, but I'm just using that term again for my own surmise. The opportunity cost is now the door was open for USL to get a network TV deal. I do not think USL gets, I have more kind of background knowledge of who USL was talking to and the negotiations. I can tell you that the USL conversations with Paramount Plus and CBS really intensified when MLS did a deal with Apple. And also there were local CBS affiliates who thought maybe if they got a piece of MLS like they have with NWSL, they would have local content, local sports content. Now they're seeing USL in that light. And the other point on this is that at SoccerX, there was a view that the buzz about the MLS playoffs was dead. No one was talking about it, and that was attributed to Apple and attributed to Messi missing the playoffs,
right.
The two things. Now, the other point I would make about this is that there is a feeling that maybe there is a turnaround this offseason, and Apple produces more original content, or MLS Productions in conjunction with Apple produces more original content. There's more kind of cool magazine shows that get people engaged, and then that drives subscriptions. The one of the critiques I heard at SoccerX is that they hadn't done that, right? They hadn't done the basic entry, hey, we need to tell the story, we need to create the context, which will get you interested. Apple was just like, hey, we have MLS. Subscribe. Mm-hmm. And then it became, oh, we have Messi, subscribe. So there's a thinking maybe they'll reassess and they'll do that this offseason. But this goes back to conversation. I don't want to get too far afield here, but we've had on this podcast for years. What are the compelling storylines? They don't have a storyteller like Ryan Reynolds or a story like Wrexham to tell. So that's, and I know we get beat up on about the Wrexham thing, but that's the reality, right? There is a compelling storyline and a compelling storyteller that gets people interested in Wrexham. The general consensus is that it's a bad deal and that this isn't helping MLS. Yeah. Now they got a lot of money up front, so that's good. But other than that, it isn't helping them. And I last point on this, with the lower division stuff that I cover really closely, Chris, USL is kind of on the back foot against MLS Next Pro in that soccer war. But the thing that people keep coming back to me at is now that USL has gotten itself on CBS, gotten a CBS deal, MLS Next Pro is buried on Apple TV. So while all things being equal, MLS may have an advantage having tried to go into the lower division space and now trying to consolidate the entire pyramid under them, this is going to damage their lower division because in the actual head-to-head competition, USL is now on TV and MLS is not. Or on linear TV, excuse me, linear television.
So one of the things I'm hearing from my sources behind the scenes is that Apple is looking at 2024 and looking to basically try to copy what the Premier League is doing. So in terms of the way that the league is presented and they're looking at the Premier League saying, okay, that's kind of the what we need to aspire to. So what can we do that's going to be kind of Premier League level content? Now, the specifics of what that actually is, I don't know, but I guess they're going to try to build it up into kind of feeling like MLS is like the Premier League. The reality is, Kartik, that, you look at, the lack of pro-rel. You don't have that storyline as far as teams getting promoted in or teams going down. So you don't have the Jeopardy aspect of it. You look at the, you mean, the built-in number of years that you've built in these fan bases and have fan bases across the United States of people that have been Chelsea fans for a couple of decades. So, you know, whatever team it may be. But also you look at the end of it too, you look at the salaries, you look at the players, you look at the quality level, you look at the actual level that this football, you know, soccer has been played at. You look at Opta Rankings. Opta Rankings, a credible resource, ranks the best leagues around the world. In the top 30 leagues from around the world, the Premier League's number one, Major League Soccer's number 15. So from 15 to 1 is a huge gap where you've got some major leagues in there, some smaller ones that MLS could climb over. But it takes years. It doesn't take it overnight. And you have to put in mass, you mean, funding, investment into this league. You mean in terms of whether it's adding more DPs or all these different things that they have to do to get from where they are to where they want to be is just an enormous gap. That's almost unrealistic unless, you know, yes, Apple has the money. Are they going to invest in the league the way that they want to? And even then, is that what are you going to do, right? What type of players are you going to buy? It takes years to develop, you mean, a top-level league that people are going to sign up for to watch. You have Major League Soccer, which is Major League in name in terms of it's the highest price point for a soccer streaming service. And the reality is you have a lesser league, as Leo Messi says, a league that is in lesser quality than other leagues, which is the reality of where it's at. Kartik, I think we might have actually run out of time to talk about listener mailbags. We may have to save some of those for next week. But I do want to read out what Eddie Q said at SoccerX Miami real fast, too, before we go into some of the listener mailbag, and we'll finish the rest next week or the next podcast. Eddie Q, who's the VP at Apple, number two guy at Apple, underneath Tim Cook, he heads up all of kind of the Apple entertainment and is really the key Apple executive when it comes to MLS season pass. At SoccerX Miami, he says, "When I think of America, it's the biggest country in the world, the most powerful economic country in the world. So when I looked at soccer, people think it's crazy. But why wouldn't we have the best soccer league in the world? Why wouldn't the best players want to play here? When I looked at the 10 years, yeah, in my mind, we got this because we thought that together we could build the best soccer league in the world. That's the goal. That's the objective. You know, we're trying to be the best. Otherwise, why do it? Obviously, right now, there's the Premier League, La Liga and Serie A and all that standpoint around all those different leagues. But you're starting to see this. Messi wanting to come to play here says a whole lot. There's a lot of players that are going to want to come play here and be part of this growth, of this opportunity. So when I go out and look at the 10 years, the way we're going to measure it is, are we going to be one of the best leagues in the world? That's success. That's what we need to be striving for." What do you think about that, Kartik?
I think it's a fantasy, right? So Eddie Q is now reading from the same song sheet Don Garber has read for. Remember, MLS was going to be one of the best leagues in the world by 2022. That date was given for some arbitrary reason by Garber at a previous point. And they keep moving the bar, right? And when we judge them, we're judging them by their own words. I don't think it's possible. We can get into the whole governance issues and league structures another time. But yes, I do think a closed league is not... cannot be a top league in the world, right? I think this sport is just organized differently and with different premises in mind. And in terms of unearthing talent, there is a difficulty in a closed system. Although, in fairness, MLS, you and I are complaining, MLS is trying to consolidate the pyramid under them. Maybe that consolidation does help grow kind of the profile of the league and allow them to unearth more talent and get them to a higher level. But until you see MLS fully, in the international player market, where you have 10, 15, 20 guys leaving MLS each year, going to La Liga and going to Premier League and going to Bundesliga, and then 10, 15 guys coming the other way, you're not there. Okay, I know we can't judge everything by transfers, but I think a lot of just the integration and the value and the value that's put on the league can be based on transfer valuations and players coming in and out. And you know, random guys that random big name guys you get usually on a free doesn't justify that, right? Does not put you in that conversation. It makes you the Saudi league. It makes you what the Chinese Super League was at one time, and it makes you kind of a lesser version of the Turkish league, where you have the top three or four teams that are loaded with guys we know from the Premier League and from La Liga and Serie A, right, and the Bundesliga. Now, to get there, you need a broader vision, and I'm not sure MLS or Apple has that. So, I don't put much stock into what Eddie Q says there. It's great to say, hey, we had this 10-year plan, and you know that's why it's a 10-year deal, and we're going to be at the top at the end of 10 years. But I don't see what the steps to get them there are. I will put one caveat on this, Chris. I do think European leagues, and this is a conversation we had in the summer, right, when we did the thing on the Saudi League, I think that the balance, cash positive, that sort of thing, very kind of economics, business thing, Europe is increasingly reliant on the Gulf states and Saudi Arabia, right there, the Gulf Emirates, Qatar, UAE, Kuwait, et cetera, Bahrain, and then also Saudi Arabia, to fund a lot of their project in sport, whether it's in this sport in football, whether it's in Formula One, whether it's in golf. So that does open possibilities up that MLS could be equitable from a business standpoint if, and this is the big thing, and this is the big thing with NWSL also, we're not going to talk about the women's side today, but if they're willing to change their structure. But if you don't change your structure, you're not going to get that investment. And I think the deal with Apple probably locks them into being a closed league for another 10 years, right? Isn't that what you probably think? It probably means any chance at opening the system up is gone until that contract is done.
Yeah, for sure. And even then, it's probably impossible anyway, unless you know, FIFA comes in or US Soccer comes in and says, okay, you have to do this, which they're not going to, because FIFA's in bed with Major League Soccer, as U.S. Soccer is in many ways too, even though they've kind of split in terms of their partnership deals. They're still very much, a lot of MLS employees, including Don Garber, are on the board at U.S. Soccer. All right, let's move on to listener mailbag. I'm just going to go through a few of these, and then we'll save the rest for next week. And of course, listeners, feel free to chime in with your comments, and we'll read those out on the next episode. Dan Floyd says, in regards to the Bundesliga, he says, in your most recent podcast, there was some talk about the lack of interest in the US in the Bundesliga. I share your disappointment. I follow Stuttgart, which has been pretty painful in recent years. So I know my view is biased since Stuttgart has had such a strong start to the season. Is the Bayern domination one of the biggest issues with the league? It came down to the wire last year, but I do think that it's made the league less interesting having Bayern win so many league titles in a row. Harry Kane coming to the league is a great story this year. Stuttgart and Gerasi are another great story. It's a shame more fans aren't watching. And that's a feeling I always get to with the Bundesliga. I really enjoy the league, the way it's structured, the fan base, the atmospheres, the games, the players, everything to me is perfect. It's not in English language, which to me is not an issue, but it will be an issue to some people. But even then, even with Harry Kane, right, it's just still nothing's happening. Turfit wants to talk about Major League Soccer. Turfit says, I have Apple TV and MLS since I have T-Mobile. Yes, MLS season pass, but I stream my TV using a Shield Android TV. So MLS playoffs are out of sight and out of mind. The only MLS match I watched all season was Messi's very first game that he came in after halftime. If Inter Miami becomes the super club using old retired Barcelona players, what does that say about the rest of the league? Scott says, oh boy, where to begin? The MLS playoffs are a dumpster fire. With a lucrative Apple deal in hand, Don Garber has created a nightmare situation. Major League Soccer is allowing non-soccer executives such as Apple driving the league's competitive structure. What soccer league outside of international competitions allows networks to dictate the competitive format of a league? This is more amateur than the soccer field in Chattanooga, Don Garber was ranting about. The tailwinds of a young soccer-enthused generation creating the ideal future landscape for MLS is now a headwind. Why? Exhibit A. Two Hollywood college dropout actors with their hit show, Welcome to Wrexham, are educating MLS's future demographic on the importance of community, belonging, and togetherness in a competitive landscape, something MLS is acutely allergic towards. Kartik used the words inauthentic to describe MLS in the past. I would use the word ick. Kartik, good feedback there from Turfit, Dan Floyd, and Scott. Scott, it's home with some zingers there. What do you think?
Yeah, and I do think it's very amateurish that TV is kind of dictating, the media partner is dictating the format of this stuff. So of MLS, and this seems to be the case even when it was Fox and ESPN, and before that NBC covering the league. So I think to break through into that, sorry, just real quickly into that goal of Eddie Q, you have to have a consistent format every year. MLS's format changes year from year, year after year. So that's another great piece of feedback, why they're not going to make it, why it's kind of pie in the sky, this idea that they'll be one of the top, they'll be the elite league in 10 years.
Right, yeah, and Apple, in terms of their deal for starting 2023, with the deal with Major League Soccer, was it 5 days or 3 days? I think 5 days before the league started. They hadn't announced what the playoff structure was going to be. And according to some published reports, the reason that they came up with the playoff structure that they did come up with that has been a disaster in terms of just the format of it. And everyone has really rebelled against this, even hardcore MLS fans. The reason that they were doing it with this structure was because of Apple. Apple wanted to have more games, more inventory to broadcast. And it's had, I would say it's had the opposite effect, where it's even among MLS fans who are not fans of Columbus or LAFC, I think a lot of them have checked out. If their team's not in it by this stage, they've pretty much checked out and not watching the games. They're saying, okay, let's call it quits and we'll watch again next season. But it's been really, really detrimental. And hopefully, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, what Scott says too, right? You've got Apple really dictating to Major League Soccer, working hand in hand and kind of saying like, hey, what do you think about this? What should we do this? And this is a massive global corporation, right? One of the biggest, one of the richest corporations in the world, with no soccer experience. This is the first entryway into soccer. So they're using this, I wouldn't say as a guinea pig, but definitely you're learning on the go. And Eddie Q and Apple executives have said this before too, quite a few times in the past few months, is that in terms of when they're broadcasting games, they're having some of the MLS executives or owners of these MLS teams texting Eddie Q saying like, hey, how come there's no league table on MLS Season Pass where we can see where our standings are? And they're going like, oh, yeah, we need to add that too. So, really, the blueprint is there if you want to be successful. However, they think that they have a better way that's going to be more successful. Having Messi certainly helps. But in some ways, it hurts too, because there's so much of a focus on that one individual player that it is detrimental in terms of, a lot of people are sick already of just hearing about Messi. You're not hearing as much about Inter Miami or those other teams. And when Messi's not playing or Inter Miami is not in the playoffs or wherever, or Inter Miami's not even playing, there's less of an interest
quite in what's going on. Quite frankly, the most brilliant thing NBC did and now there are 11 seasons of broadcasting the Premier League, was year one, the summer leading into year one, after they Fox and ESPN had signed off. And then throughout year one, they made sure they built context around the culture of various clubs, right?
Yeah.
And they had documentaries. Yeah, and they would have Roger Bennett. They would bring Gary Lineker in. They even used Joe Scarborough, right, a political guy from NBC yeah. News, to explore. And he's a Liverpool fan, by the way, but he went to Spurs and other places to build this context, to build the brand, to educate the viewership as to what was at stake, why it was so important, what the history was. Apple didn't do any of that with MLS. So to a certain extent, MLS has been let down by Apple, unless, again, this goes back to MLS's inherent cautiousness and they don't want to take chances and do things like that. Look, I think this is something inherent in U.S. soccer and something that I'm going to get at in my next piece on the women's soccer wars is just the inherent cautiousness of NWSL, which is just the same thing as MLS. It's the same culture.
Right. And yeah, so, single entity, right.
Yeah, that comes from being a single entity. And I think Apple has to build that. They have to go and even have for casual fans, okay, you're not in an MLS market. You're it's a global deal. You're overseas. Here's a club you can root for. You can root for Colorado. That might be a bad example. You can root for St. Louis because of this, right? But they haven't done that. And they need to do that. They need to build the culture.
Yeah, and one more thing on this too, Kartik, before we go, is that you mentioned too original content for MLS Season Pass and how Apple needs to do more of that. To me, Messi Meets America, that documentary series that they did, was awful. It was really bad. I mean, basically what it ends up being is it's a recap of the season. So if I know you've bought Manchester City DVDs in the past that was kind of like a 2013-2014 season in full. It takes you from the start of the season all the way to the end. It shows you all the highlights. That's basically what Messi Meets America was. It did not teach me one thing about – it gave me no insight at all.
John Champion for years narrated those DVDs.
Oh, yeah?
So, So at least I got that when I ordered those. I don't order them.
But you're
anymore,
a fan,
by
though.
The way. But.
So if you're a fan of Messi or if you're a fan of Inter Miami, that Messi Meets America is great as a recap to kind of relive those memories. For everyone else, it's a waste of time. And that's Apple's first big move into producing original content. And it's poor, really poor. Because I know that Major League Soccer has been talking to the guys and actually signed a deal with the guys that do the Netflix Drive to Survive series, which has been, for F1 has been legendary, right? It's been kind of a really difference maker. We're yet to see anything or hear anything more about that. So I have questions. Going back to Scott, there's a fantastic comments that you had in the list of mailbag. I have doubts. I have questions about the Apple MLS partnership. I think they're perfect together. They're very similar in the way they operate. They're very focused on hype and PR and very controlled, in terms of the way that they do business and like to take control. Like Apple is almost like the single entity of mobile phones, right? Kind of trying to drive out Android, trying to push them down to be kind of the leader in the United States. MLS is doing the same thing with USL, trying to push them down so that they're seen as kind of the go-to leader in this country.
Yeah, it's actually kind of similar. That's where the synergy between Apple and MLS come in. But this is they're got a global deal with Apple, so they have to be thinking a little broader. And I don't think they know how to do that. And we're at a point where MLS has now been around for close to 30 years. So the excuses are still very rampant with people. But now I think the excuses have run out in terms of why they haven't been able to create greater context where people want to watch. Where it's appointment viewing, right? Where you want to watch the league week in and week out, the way people watch the Premier League. you could be a fan of Bournemouth, but you're going to watch Spurs versus Liverpool, right? And that's the way it is in that league, and that's not the way it is in MLS. Same thing in college football, right? Since that's seems to be the model sport of this country. SEC fans, you could be a Florida fan. If you're a Florida fan, you're probably watching Alabama versus Auburn. But if you're an Orlando City fan, you're not watching St. Louis versus Kansas City in MLS. So there you go.
All right, listeners, there's a bunch of different ways you can get in touch with us to share your feedback, give us your questions, let us know how you agree or disagree with anything we've said, or to carry the conversation onward and forward. You can reach us through email, which is web@worldsoccertalk.com. Again, that's web@worldsoccertalk.com. The website, worldsoccertalk.com, click on podcast and then leave a comment in the most recent episode. Facebook.com/worldsoccertalk, youtube.com/worldsoccertalk. You can leave a comment in the most recent episode there. We'll post these episodes there too. Twitter is @worldsoccertalk. And voicemail is 561-247-4625. And I think that pretty much covers all the bases. Kartik, so what's going on with Beyond the 90? You mentioned Women's Soccer Wars, and where can people find that content and subscribe if they're interested?
Yeah, it's beyondthe90.substack.com, taking an in-depth look at the women's soccer wars between USL Super League and NWSL, which is similar to what's happening on the men's side. In fact, it's connected to what's happening on the men's side. You can't just view these two things in a vacuum right now. And so check that out at beyondthe90.substack.com.
Excellent. All right. We've got plenty of midweek games from soccer from around the world. And of course, we've got the MLS Cup final this weekend and much, much more from around the world. So Kartik, what should listeners do and what are you going to do?
Enjoy your football.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.